The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Get it on Mission Minded. Keep your mind, your mission, your mind. A show we've been doing now for well over 2 years. He's Michael Coleman. He's the CEO of HAFB.org, also known as Heart of Alabama Food Bank. They just recently did a whole remodeling, if you will, rebranding of everything they did. It used to be called the Montgomery Area Food Bank, and we talked about that a lot last week. We take your emails, info@tonycurryradio.net, info@tonycurryradio.net. You can hear this show at least 5 days a week. Mission Minded right here on TKR, and of course, wherever you get your favorite podcasts, are available on every major industry. Plus, our another show called Bite by Bite, which is specifically about the wonderful Heart of Alabama Food Bank. So we'll have that show coming up a little bit later on this week as well. And you can also hear that on TKR. Michael, how you been, brother? What's been going on? Everything good?
Yeah, encountering some much needed rain right now.
Yes.
But I tell you, I really look forward to our recording times on Mondays. Get to spend with you, get to catch up and talk about things that are of substance and really important going on in the world.
I love it. And I love both shows because Bite by Bite, obviously specific to Heart of Alabama Food Bank. And that show is just taken off. And it's just really interesting because I don't think enough people know about how Feeding America and Heart of Alabama Food Bank actually works. And I think it's really fascinating. And then, of course, this show, we talk about things like that and non-for-profits, but we also talk about business. Hence, we do have some emails, info@tonycurryradio.net, a couple of good ones I chose this week. Michael in Houston, Texas, heard our show about AI, and he wants to know, just how much does Michael Coleman use ChatGPT? Michael mentioned he uses his ChatGPT to upload his Twitter analytics to categorize them into content themes to find out which tweets actually perform better than others, which I think is very interesting. I didn't think about that, but he wants to know, just how much do you use ChatGPT?
Well, first of all, let me just say that Michael sounds much smarter than the Michael you're talking to right now, because I didn't understand but about half of what he said. Yeah. So I just found myself using it this morning. It does take a little bit of getting used to, but anytime where, like lots of times when I'm faced with something and I don't have a strong background in it, or I just can't put my thoughts together, you know, you go to Google and everybody says, have you Googled it?
Yeah.
And now where I'm beginning to transition from is Googling, because you can get some websites that come up on Google. You can get some articles that come up that cover it. But the difference is when I go into ChatGPT and I put that information in, you know, regardless of what it is, it just feeds you a lot. And here's what else I'm understanding. It will give you the option at the end to regenerate. And so let's say you ask for some type of category. Hey, I want to know all there is to know about this topic. And it spits it all out. And you don't necessarily like the way it's laid out, or you don't necessarily like the topics. You can click regenerate and it redoes it. And sometimes it's never the exact same thing. It might hit on some of the same topics.
Explain to people real quick, just for people that, because we do talk to a little bit of an older group here.
Okay.
But explain to people exactly what ChatGPT is. I know you're not an expert on it. But a lot of people are like, how do I find it? There are different things where you can actually generate 10 different things. It doesn't cost you anything to generate. And then, of course, you have to be part of some subscription, and it is ever changing day by day. But explain to people what you use it for and exactly what it does.
Yeah, so the ChatGPT, it's a software at its heart. It's OpenAI. I would have to look at mine again and see exactly what it is. But ChatGPT, when you log into it, and I don't pay anything for this. This is a free service, mm-hmm. And it keeps a running list of all the questions that I've asked, and it just says new question or new topic or whatever. And I'll go in there and I'll type something. As a matter of fact, for our show today on Bite by Bite, we're going to be talking about some of the stigmas that are out there. And I'm like, well, I can list a bunch of stigmas off the top of my head, but I may be missing some key ones. So I went in and just typed into ChatGPT stigmas within food banking, and it spit out 8 with details. And then I was like, okay, I like this, but regenerate. And it reproduced some of the same information, but a different format. And so it's just giving me stuff that sometimes I already know, but I just can't bring to my mind as I'm thinking about it. Mm-hmm. So it does some thinking for you. But basically, it's a software that's able to go out there and capture all this information, tap into all these articles and everything, and it basically thinks for you and comes back and gives you just concise information. I even did that when we were going through our rebranding, as you mentioned, part of Alabama Food Bank, and I would put in names for a food bank in South Alabama, and it would generate 15 names, and I could hit regenerate, and it would regenerate, and maybe five of those were the same.
Yeah.
So it's absolutely amazing. Now, you know, we've talked a little bit about this. There's always the downside of that, but the vast majority of us are going to use this to make us more productive, more efficient. And I'm going to be honest with you. I cannot begin to tell you the number of times I sit down to tackle a topic, and the older I get, I'm just like, oh, I know it's right here on the tip of my tongue. And so it's not thinking, it's not creating for you, and all you're doing is regurgitating what comes out. You're able to look at the information and then further talk about it because this is tapping into an experience that you already have. Like, it didn't give me topics for today about all the stigmas, but it reminded me when it came up. I'm like, oh, yeah, that stigma. Oh, yeah, I've experienced that, or I've seen that, or I've heard about that. Those were all things, but it just put it all together for me in one time.
I'd say
a couple times a week, going back to the original question, yeah. A couple times a week, I definitely get on it and quiz it.
Is there any bad parts to Chat GPT? And all I can think about is the business I've been in, the radio, because we used to have to copyright, and we hired a person. He was making $60,000 a year to write copy for commercials. Well, he'd have his job done in about a half an hour at this point. And obviously some pieces come out that are better than others, but like you said, it's really good stuff. And basically what it does, it basically peruses the entire internet, finds everything that's applicable to whatever you're looking to do, and writes a piece. And it even has reference points. I saw someone had it held references to it. And I'm trying to think to myself, we used to have brainstorming sessions. What has ChatGPT done to brainstorming sessions? Because I remember brainstorming sessions being probably one of the most lucrative and important parts of any business. We'd get together once a month and we go, listen, we got a golf tournament coming up. Who's got some ideas? Well, using this, is it a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, it all depends on how you're affected by it. If you're a leader in an organization and you're tapping into it and you can do a brainstorming session in 10 seconds and it gives you the best ideas out there that are found on the internet,
yeah,
you're like, this is invaluable. If I want to, so I'll give you something else. This is a little bit of AI as well. We have a software program that's constantly goes into our database and pulls out donors and says, time to contact this donor. Here's an introductory email. Now, for me, I can look at that email and go, oh, that's not exactly how I want to reach out to this person for the first time or follow up. But it writes me an email and then I edit it and then it learns how I write my emails. And so next time it generates an email, because I think most of us know the most difficult thing is to sit there from scratch. And if you're going to do 10 letters and they were not all the same, you're writing to different people. It's how I start this. How do I want this to flow? And what it does is it gives you a product and you're like, oh, you know, I'm going to tweak this sentence. But it's a huge time saver. And there's almost nothing that I have put into it that I've not gotten back a better product that saved me time and ultimately saving time and saving money.
It's interesting. And again, as a supplement,
it's really amazing. I'm blown away by it.
And it's the only thing is, and you have to be careful depending on what you're trying to write. And of course, you know, I got a son just went to college, so I'm thinking to myself, okay, Gray's going to be using ChatGPT to be writing his college reports and stuff like that. And teachers probably know that as well. But it's not always truthful. You have to fact check. You have to go back and listen to things because there's a lot of things obviously on the internet that aren't true, but I think
they've already come up with the school systems and colleges. This is how fast this is going. right after ChatGPT, it was writing college papers, writing high school papers, and they were excellent. Well, some people were getting busted because the teacher goes, there's no way you wrote this. I know what kind of student you are. There's no way you wrote this. But now there's systems already, and I think, I don't know if they're AI themselves, but you run that AI-produced paper through that, and it can tell the teacher if that was AI-generated or not. So they're already developing things to catch cheaters who use it. But again, it goes back to something we've talked about before. No matter what's good, the internet is neither good nor bad. Some people use it to look at child pornography.
Yeah.
Some people use it to rob identities. Some people use it to expand their business and grow their productivity. I think OpenAI is very much the same way. It will help so many people and really smart people like Michael in Houston who can think of new ways to use it and things that I would never even think about. That may be because I'm not on Twitter that much. But you're always going to have people who use systems to cheat and to lie and steal and all those kind of things for nefarious reasons. And then you'll always use have those who are using it for productive reasons. So it really comes back for the most part.
There was a great story. Yeah, there was a great story on 60 Minutes last night about just this. And people are like, well, how could you use it to scam people? It's called the grandma scheme, where you can actually ask ChatGPT to find audio from one particular person. It will dial the phone number of that individual and it will say Michael Coleman on one end. So of course I'm going to accept that phone call and it is you, but it is not you. And it's talking like you. It's crazy, man. It's amazing what we've come up here. Love these emails. info@tonycurryradio.net. Bethany, this is Mission Minded, by the way. Keep your mind, your mission, your mind. You can hear the show 10 o'clock Central Time every Monday through Friday right here on Tony Curry Radio, TKR, and wherever you get your podcast. Bethany in Ann Arbor recently she said she had listened to our show about having a power outage at the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. And she said, we recently had one in Ann Arbor that lasted 2 days. I'm not sure what part. I tried to find why, in fact, that happened. She said, what would Michael Coleman do, assuming the temperature was decent? What would Michael Coleman do with his entire staff if the power went out an entire day at the Heart of Alabama Food Bank?
Well, you know, food banking is a little bit different, and I'm actually learning this right now. I have a sticky note. Unfortunately, my desk is covered in sticky notes. Mm-hmm. And one of my sticky notes is I have a backup generator, question mark. Part of the plan of food banking is, you know, if something goes out, the main thing is not the facilities themselves, but our freezers and coolers. Because if those were to get above temperature, you'd have to throw out, and you're talking hundreds of thousands or even millions of pounds of food. So we actually have, and this is just where another example where technology helps you. We have sensors all over in our freezers and coolers. And if they drop below a certain thing or go above a certain temperature, we get email alerts on our phones and it notifies us because it notifies, sends a signal. So that's really neat. So those are really the main things. But going back, if the generators recovered the food and all that, we would probably be working from home. I'm not going to have people come in and
whatever was already there for the day. So it was 8:30 in the morning. Do you have
if I already knew in advance, hey, this is going to be a 2-day outage?
Yeah,
I would probably let our guys. When I say guys, it's men and women. I would let our team go because here's one principle that I just hate. I hate the idea of people like, no, you're in the office from this time to this time.
Yeah.
I'm much more lean towards what is it you were trying to get done today? And if you're very productive and you're done and you normally get off at 4 and it's 3:20 or 3:25 and you're like, hey, I've got everything done. I'm not going to sit there and go, well, make sure you stay here till 4 o'clock. If you've gotten everything you've done because you were productive today, I'm fine with you leaving early. So I don't like keeping people there just because they're supposed to be there. If we can't function because the power's out or the internet's down and all that kind of, which, you know, we can't get it if the computer's out, then, hey, I'm going to send my people home until we can open back. Number one, because it's so freaking hot. and humid in Alabama. I would not make them sit here and endure that.
Well, she did say, assuming the weather was nice. So
assuming the weather's nice. Okay, yeah. I would still send them home anyway, because there's just a level of productivity that can't happen. But I'd rather them go home and enjoy that time. Not off. It would still be an expectation for them to go home and get done what they could get done.
You wouldn't have some type of Michael Coleman personality workshop that day or something? Say, everyone come into my office and we're going to have some fun here. We're going to have a wagon wheel of discussion. Well, I'm just curious.
I mean, it all depends on it. If I'm seeing some problems in culture and stuff like that, I'm like, we're going to take advantage of this. I'm going to drill these folks for a while.
All right. Speaking of great ideas, this is Mission Minded. Michael Coleman is the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank, HAFB.org. Please help them out. They cover 35 counties in the great state of Alabama. They do wonderful work through Feeding America. You threw me out one of these sentences again, and I have no clue what it means. And I was gonna say, what exactly does this mean, or where do you want to go? And I thought, no, we're just going to discuss it on the show. Agility model for leaders. What is that?
Yeah. So say you get the emails. I don't get to see the emails. You get to hit me by surprise, and I do that with the show topic and just hit you back.
There you go. Touche.
No, it's another funny when I was reading it, and I'm like, this is just a different way to look at things and help people, because I know I can look at something the same way, and I think, oh, I've got this figured out. And then somebody presents a model that's just different and helps me approach my own self-awareness just from different ways. And so this is called the learning agility model. And it basically all feeds into your own self-awareness. But it's funny, because when I think about agility, I think about athleticism and agility, like, you know. And so let's just say I was cursed with, I played sports growing up. I played football and I played baseball. But I was cursed with my mother's birth and hips. And so I was not somebody.
All right.
I was more wide and low to the ground. Mm-hmm. So I was not somebody who was known as having a lot of agility. So but when I look at this, it really helps me kind of look. And so there's four areas that I'll just touch on real quick. One is people agility. And it's really just about how you evaluate people. Are you good at sizing up people? Are you skilled at communicating and pulling out of people what you want? And, you know, what about when conflict happens between people? Are you the person to come in and can kind of calm that down and get people focused back on their job? So that's in the, like, it's not a set. The focus behind agility is you get people with all the different drama they bring in, all the different situations. And are you somebody who navigates that successfully or easily? Are you somebody that, you know, if somebody comes at you from any kind of different way, like you come in, somebody's moody, and you come in, somebody's crying, and then you come in, somebody's got just whatever. Are you good at that? Or do you have a lot of agility in navigating that space? And I will tell you, I personally believe that's one of my weaker ones. I can really do it. But, well, I can do it, and I think I'm okay at doing it, but it pulls a lot of energy out of me for whatever reason. Where I think I'm better at is more on the mental agility and the change agility. So the mental agility is, are you comfortable with complexity and ambiguity? And I've really, as we've been hiring a lot of people and bringing them in, I've noticed that there are some people, they're just like, hey, I want to move forward, but I want you to give me every detail of this plan. And I'm like, well, some of these details can't be worked out until we start working on it. It's, you know, we kind of describe it as building the ship out in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
And so you're not going to be able to discover that. So I'm telling you, I'm going to give you as much information as I know. Then you start moving forward, and we're going to learn lessons and grow and shift as we go along. And that is debilitating to some people. It is so hard for them. They're like, how do I even know how to move? But I can talk about different situations. I have this picture in my head, and I can kind of bring things in and out. And I'm like, oh, well, this is solid. This is maybe not solid. This is how it would fit. But if it falls out, it's okay. And it's just how I'm wired. And so, again, I want to make sure that people understand this is This is not a good or a bad leader. This is not a failed leader. We're all going to be stronger in these or weaker in these than we are in other ones.
Go ahead.
But minimal agility has to be with critical thinking, understanding a bigger picture, where you're trying to go. And then, of course, for me, because I'm always pushing, is a change agility. And I love to tinker. I love to experiment. I'm never satisfied. I'm always looking, you know, if we can test something, I mean, even if we think it's the best we can do it, I want to tinker with it and say, is it truly the best? I don't want somebody telling me it's the best. I want to say, yep, okay, we tried this. Nope, this is the best we can do it. And then we move on to other things. But anytime you're like that, you have to have the willingness to take the heat of resistance.
Do you ever find yourself that you change to a fault? Do you tinker to a fault sometimes when things are going well and they've been going well for a period of time? You think, you know what, something needs to change here?
I will tell you where I will answer your question. Yes, but maybe not that specific example. I tend to not really change. I might ask a question or two, but I don't go into a deep analysis if something's already working well. But I will tell you where is that I'm never, across the organization, I'm never satisfied as a whole, because I always know it's just human nature that when you're focused on one area and you start doing well and you shift focus, then you can bet that what you had your focus on over time is going to settle. And it's just human nature. It doesn't mean your employees are bad. It doesn't mean, but you've got to have somebody that's as driven as you at all levels of the organization, which is rare.
Yeah.
The entry level guy and the first line supervisor and the manager, they're all not going to be necessarily driven like that. So when they think they're doing it, you know, this is good enough. You know, we used to say this all the time when I was a soldier. Lots of times when we're like, oh, this is good enough for government work. It was like, it's a standard. And sometimes that's an okay standard. Everything doesn't have to be perfect. But the question is, when I turn my attention somewhere else, then I can bet if I come back in 6 months, there's going to be some challenges in that area.
Do you find that most people are better at either people, mental, or change agility as opposed to all three? And what if you're not good at, what if you're just not good at agility, period? Is there a special place in your business force for that?
Well, what I have found is because this all feeds into the last one is the results, which is you're just building high performance teams. But those four things are going into what this particular model has of self-awareness. So you can back out of that a little bit and go, okay, the people that I've seen who get hung up in these areas, they really just lack self-awareness as to what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are. Again, I go back to surround myself with people who approach things differently and then give them the freedom to tell me, Michael, I don't think you're seeing this right, or I don't think you're considering this, or I don't think this is the best approach given where I think you want the organization to go. And so what I tend to see in the people around me are certain strengths. Mm-hmm. And I think I have my strengths, but I also am more aware of the areas that I'm not strong in, that I wish I was more strong in. But the truth of the matter is you're not going to be a leader in all. I mean, you know, you're not going to be rated a 9 or a 10 in all areas. And when I look at just my self-awareness, if I were honest about this, I could see I'm definitely down on a couple of these where I've got some room to grow.
Michael Coleman, he's with HAFB.org. That's known as the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. They recently just rebranded themselves, the Montgomery Food Bank. So check out HAFB.org. They're redoing everything through their websites, their social media, and of course, also doing a brand new show called Bite by Bite, which you can also hear on Tony Curry Radio, the TKR app. Just put in TKR, there's three little letters, and you go through Android or Apple, and you're going to find Tony Curry Radio, great classic rock and roll to the bone, and over 15 different shows, including Mission Minded. We have one final email question here I wanted to throw out at you since it is college football week. Week one, Steven in Southside wants to know, does the Heart of Alabama Food Bank do anything with any college athletics as far as bringing awareness and or rating bringing food goods or anything to football games? Do you work with anything in the state? Because college football is a religion in the state.
Yeah, fantastic question. The answer to that question is yes. We have really pushed a campus hunger. It's what we have found is that a lot of our, not only community colleges, but four-year universities have food insecurity. Lots of times, and I was just talking with a friend a few weeks ago, and their answer to it is, well, if your child's hungry, get them a meal card. And it comes back to, look, everybody, some people are going to school and they're doing all they can just to afford to be able to be there and get books. And sometimes they're sleeping in the car. And sometimes they just don't have enough food. And there's been studies that have shown that food insecurity can affect your grades and everything else. So we are working to establish pantries, which we're already seeing a difference in. But also we have great volunteer opportunities where we get sports teams to come out from Alabama State, from AUM, from Troy University, from Huntington College. A lot of those come out and they participate because most college standards are really wanting their students to have a certain amount of volunteer hours per year. So we bring them out and we try to educate them on some of the challenges, but it's great to get them as a part of what we're doing because a lot of those have never had to really encounter that. But then you can really see it on the faces who are like, yeah, I mean, we've had people tell us, my mom went to the food bank all the time or went to, to a pantry. I don't know if we didn't have this, I don't know how we would have survived. So you say it can touch. I mean, they'll get teary-eyed telling you about it. And those are real special times. But we just want them to grow up, understand food banking in general, understanding community service, and then whatever, tears at their heartstrings or whatever they feel like is most important in their lives, we just want them to go back and give back to their communities.
We appreciate you watching Heart of Alabama Food Bank's Mission Minded right here. And, of course, also be listening up for our brand-new show called Bite by Bite on the way on Tony Curry Radio.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.